Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Tuesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I am your host, PJ Glasser. Folks, we get NCAA tournament games. Today, we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about some of the teams I like to make a surprise Elite Eight Final Four run as well. One of my favorite segments we do all year long is when we pick the national champion in college basketball. Got a bunch of different trends, and we've narrowed it down to one team. We'll tell you who's going to be cutting down the nets in San Antonio in April. Also, we'll get to Nick Henyon later on in the show. With all this college basketball talk, Nick's got us covered at the Valspar Championship this week out in Florida, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. I got a pick in UNC San Diego State and a player prop that I like in that game as well. As always, guys were awesome yesterday in the chat, sending in a bunch of questions. Keep them coming at the BetMGM Network. You can hit us up on YouTube, on Twitch. You can hit us up on our live stream on X as well. Send in anything, any questions, bets that you have. And if you miss any part of the show, make sure you check out the podcast, the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get running on a Tuesday. We go to the Glasser guest line, joined by our guy, Isaac Shade. You can give Isaac a follow on X at Isaac Shade, host of Locked On College Basketball and the Locked On Heels podcast as well. And he's got an extra pep in his step on this Tuesday because his Tar Heels are playing in the first four. Isaac, on a scale from like 1 to 10, with 10 being like, I mean, like you were blown away. You could not believe that the committee put in North Carolina. What number would you give it that the Heels are dancing?
8 million, PJ. Like, so behind the scenes, I was in Dallas recording some studio shows. And so we're sitting in the green room watching the selection committee reveal. And it's funny because there was no drama, like, right? Because so Carolina is in Auburn's bracket, so they were one of the first teams up. We're always watching for these bubble teams. So as soon as North Carolina's announced, I stood up, banged my hands on the wall, and ran throughout the back halls of the studio screaming, recording myself. I mean, it was insane. North Carolina, I thought, had literally no shot to be in this field. I honestly probably don't think they should be, but there are, you know, obviously the whole West Virginia of it. I think North Carolina's resume was better than Xavier's, so I thought that was a miss by the committee favoring Xavier over North Carolina, but they're in. And look, all you need is a chance, and so go do it.
That's right, and they play the runner-up from 2 years ago in San Diego State, who's a physical team. They're really, really good on defense. The Heels are 4.5-point favorites tonight. Would you lay that with them, or would you bet the Aztecs stay away? How do you view the game tonight?
That's a great question. So much of it depends on the health of Magoon Gwath, who is San Diego State's big man freshman who blocks like 2.5 shots a game. It's crazy stuff there. Coach Brian Dutcher has said that he is, quote, fully available. My question, PJ, is that doesn't tell me how much he's actually going to play. Is he starting, right? You could be fully available, but fully sit your butt on the bench the entire game. So that's a big X factor in this for me. I think North Carolina, as an undersized team, is going to have some issues. I believe the Tar Heels will win, but not cover. Give me the Carolina by three. So if you're taking the spread, go with the Aztecs.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. We'll look at San Diego State plus the points. Isaac, we're getting ready to talk about some Final Four long shots here on the show. And I've seen a bunch of people that kind of think if Carolina could win tonight, maybe could make a run here in this region. What do you make of the Heels' path if they're able to get by tonight? I mean, do you think this team could get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight? What are your thoughts?
There is certainly possibility with that, PJ, both because of historical precedents and because of the path in front of them. Let me explain both. This is the 14th season of the play-in games. In 12 of the prior 13, a play-in team has won at least one extra game, including both VCU in 2011 and UCLA in 2021, rocking it all the way to the Final Four, right? So there is historical precedence for that. As for North Carolina's path, if they win this game, they play against a balanced Ole Miss team that has six double-digit scores. That's tough, and Chris Beard's a phenomenal coach, but you can beat them. If they win that game, it's probably Iowa State, who, for some reason, Coach Otzelberger has already announced they're going to be without Keshawn Gilbert. No clue why they're giving everyone those cards on the table, but there are winnable games ahead for North Carolina in that way. So is it possible? Absolutely it is. Got to go out and do it on the floor, though.
All right, let's talk about some of these other regions we got, Isaac. Let's go to the West region with the Florida Gators, who are the hottest team in the country right now. They have just skyrocketed up the odds board. They're the co-favorites with Duke to cut down the nets on BetMGM. Tough region, though. You got St. John's, Texas Tech, Maryland, Memphis, Missouri. Got some really good teams. Obviously, the two-time defending champion, UConn Huskies. Do you see anybody beating the Gators?
I don't, in my bracket at least, but yes, it could very well happen. This is a region that's got seven national championships combined amongst the coaches. You mentioned UConn, and Rick Pitino has two, John Calipari has one, Bill Self has two, which, by the way, I love that quadrant down at the bottom where mm-hmm. it's Kansas, Arkansas, and St. John's, and then Omaha's just over there as the, like, hey guys, we're here. It's our first time in the bracket. Let's go have breakfast with all these national champion coaches. I absolutely love that. That's the NCAA tournament, man. But as I look at it, St. John's, this defense is wild and it's insane. Their three-point shooting, I think, is ultimately going to be their bugaboo. We've never had a national champion shoot under 33% from three. I think that could be an issue for St. John's. I don't believe in Kansas or Arkansas. Texas Tech, if they're healthy, right, if Darion Williams is good to go, they could be in good shape with this thing. That's kind of a sleeper for me. I mean, sleeper as a three seed, whatever, fine. Maryland could be a legit threat on the top half of this bracket to Florida. Derek Queen, for those who haven't seen him, is an absolute dude in the paint for Kevin Willard's team, and so that could be some real trouble in the Sweet 16. Ultimately, though, if I was a betting man, Florida is definitely going on to the Final Four out of the West region.
What about on the other side in Duke's region and Houston's region? Which of those one seeds do you like better to make it to San Antonio?
What's funny, PJ, is both of those teams have ankle issues right now. Obviously, Cooper Flagg, one of the probably the biggest storyline of the NCAA tournament right now. But Houston's got their own ankle issue with Juwan Roberts. He's not their leading scorer. He's their third leading scorer, but he is the heart and soul of this team. We've seen what those injury issues have caused for Kelvin Sampson's squad each of the last several years, with Jamal Shedd last year against Duke, by the way, in the playing there to go to the Elite Eight. They lost that game that I thought they ultimately could have won. The year before, Marcus Sasser's groin injury. So we've got some potential issues for both of these teams. If they are playing at their ceiling, Duke is the better team at its ceiling. But it's not just about Cooper Flagg's issues. We've also got Malik Brown's shoulder. If that's an issue for Duke, I don't think they can get all the way to the national championship game, because this Houston team is really, really, really strong. And it's not just the defense that you often hear about. They're the fourth best three-point percentage in the entire nation, PJ. Yes. Houston, like, what are we talking about there? I really like this Cougars team, man.
Yeah, they can really shoot it. Juwan Roberts, if he's healthy, I'm with you. Houston could be dangerous. Isaac, it's the first round of the tournament. Everybody wants that big upset, right? Who's going to be the Oakland of last year? I think Kentucky's going down again, personally. I like Troy against Kentucky. I think the Wildcats are on upset alert. Who's an underdog that you're eyeing?
I really like this BYU-VCU game. The problem is, this game is in Denver, right? BYU's used to playing at elevation, so that one is one that I'm initially looking at. One that I think a lot of people are high on that I'm staying away from is McNeese over Clemson, right? McNeese, a trendy 12 over 5, but this Clemson team is so legit, so I don't think we should be looking at that. The one that I want to go to is Drake over Missouri back in that West region. Bennett Sturts is the man for Drake. He's a D2 player that came with his head coach, Ben McCollum, up to Drake. I love it. I think Mizzou has struggled down the stretch. I know they've got great players. Give me the Drake Bulldogs coming out of the Missouri Valley Conference over Mizzou.
All right, there you go. Going with
straight up, Drake. By the way, PJ. Not even against the spread. Straight
don't
up,
even,
baby.
Don't even need the 6.5. Just take the plus 220, according to Isaac Shade. Isaac, before we let you go, we need the shady play of the day. The entire board is yours. Thursday, Friday, what's the best bet?
It's just a glorious thing, PJ. We look at this and our eyes just start watering because there's so much gloriousness all over the place here. As I look at it, man, the one that's really interesting to me is Texas and Xavier. Actually, before we even get to Thursday and Friday, Xavier, I think it's a wrong team favored situation. I know they've been hot. I know Conwell's doing it. I know Fremantle's out there, but Trey Johnson is just going to go out and dominate this game. Give me the Texas Longhorns. Straight up in this game, by the way, as we're talking spreads, I really like that. They're going to move on and play in the actual bracket.
The old WTF, wrong team favorite. Isaac going with the Texas Longhorns on the money line. Absolutely love it. Isaac, good luck to your heels tonight, sir. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Love it. See you, PJ.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling. Let's talk about some long shot Final Four futures that I got my eye on. In some of these regions, we'll start with the South region where Auburn is the big favorite. They're minus 185 to make the Elite Eight. They're minus 125 to make the Final Four. No interest in that. Yesterday on the show, I said that Auburn would probably be my pick to make it to the Final Four out of this region. I think that would probably be the smart bet. However, there is a team or two that does pique my interest in this South region. We'll start with the team that that piques my interest a lot is Texas A&M at plus 550. I know a lot of people like Yale, and rightfully so. Yale just knows who they are. They're not going to beat themselves. They have a great coach. They return just about everybody from their team last year except Danny Wolf, who's now on Michigan, who beat that Auburn team. But I think the fact that Yale beat Auburn is a great thing for Texas A&M because they're not going to take Yale for granted. They're not going to look at this team as like, oh, this is an Ivy League squad that we're more talented than, that we're bigger than, all these sorts of things. I think A&M is going to be ready. This was a team that was really good in the non-conference. Go look at what they did earlier in the season. They beat Purdue on a neutral. They beat Texas Tech on a neutral. They beat Creighton on a neutral floor as well. Buzz Williams, normally a decent tournament coach for the most part, and this is a veteran team. Like, his group of players have been together for 3-4 years. This isn't one of those teams that's made up of like a bunch of transfers and guys that have come in through the portal. This is guys who have been together for 3-4 years. They've been building towards this moment and this year. And look, if they get past Yale, they're going to get Michigan or UC San Diego. I think they win that game. Auburn, they would play in the Sweet 16 most likely. They beat them a couple weeks ago. I like the path for A&M. We're getting them plus 550 to make the Elite Eight, 12-1 to make the Final Four. I would look at the Aggies. Then we have North Carolina. If they get past San Diego State tonight, the Heels could be a little interesting, and a lot of it has to do with the price. 14-1 to make the Elite Eight, but 40-1 to make the Final Four. When I look at the bottom of this South region, I think we're going to get some chaos. I'm not a fan of Michigan State at all. If you've watched the show, you know that. They're just a team that they're awesome on defense. They have a great coach, but they can't shoot. They were also unranked to start the year. There's a great trend out there of teams that are unranked to start the year that get a top two seed, normally flop early on in the tournament, and Michigan State fits that. So I'm not high on Sparty at all. I think Marquette and UNC are a couple teams that I would look at. And again, I like kind of the vibe right now of UNC, and you guys know if you watch the show, I look for this kind of stuff all the time. Everybody's pissed that UNC got into the tournament. Nobody thinks they should be in there. They have one quad one win, so watch them win a couple games. Watch them win three games. Watch them go to the Final Four. And the price that we're getting, you know, they got RJ Davis on their team. He was the reigning ACC Player of the Year. They got pros on their squad. I get it. Hubert Davis isn't a very good coach. But if they can get past the Aztecs tonight, and I think it'll be a tricky game, I would keep an eye out for Carolina. I just think the prices that we're getting on them are too good to pass up. And then Marquette As I mentioned, I'm really not a fan of this Marquette team, to be honest with you. I'm really not a fan of Shaka Smart either. Ever since taking VCU to the Final Four, he has been awful in the tournament. But I kind of think it's awesome that Marquette has a chance to do to Michigan State what Michigan State did to them a couple years ago when Marquette was the 2 and Sparty was the 7 and they upset them. I think the Golden Eagles might have a little payback. And Michigan State, to me, reminds me a ton of St. John's. And obviously Marquette has played St. John's 3 times this season. Now, they haven't been able to beat them, but when you're in a tournament setting and so much of this is about matchups and preparation and getting ready for teams, the fact that Marquette is going to be used to a team like Michigan State, I think, is a big advantage. They're going to have by far the best player on the floor in Cam Jones. So I just think the draw is really good for Marquette, North Carolina. I think we could see some craziness on the bottom of that region. So I'd look out for A&M, Marquette, and UNC. As for the West region, right, this is with Florida, and this is with St. John's as well. 3 teams that I would keep an eye on. The first one, Isaac brought it up, is Maryland with Derek Queen, who's going to be a lottery pick. He reminds me of, like, college Nikola Jokic. He brings up the ball. He's a great scorer. He's a great passer. He does everything for the Terps. The Crab 5, if you watch college basketball, you know that's the nickname for their starting 5. Maryland is one of the best starting 5s in college basketball. They got to stay out of foul trouble. And also the thing that worries me about the Terps is their head coach, Kevin Willard. He's never been to the second weekend of the Big Dance, but this team is really good. And if they knock down their 3-pointers, they could be tough to beat. So I would keep an eye out on Maryland. They're plus 425 to make the Elite 8, plus 900 to make the Final 4. I also like Missouri as well. I talked about it yesterday on the show. To me, Missouri reminds me of Bama from last year and Miami from 2 years ago. Their offense is spectacular. If they can get past Drake, who Isaac said he loves in the first round, if they can get past Drake, I think Missouri could go on a little bit of a run. And then Memphis, I just think their price is insane. 30-1 to make the Elite 8, 80-1 to make the Final 4. I think they have a really good roster. I get that they don't play in a very good conference. I get that Penny Hardaway scares you a little bit as a head coach, but this team does have a bunch of talent. They went to the finals in the Maui Invitational. They beat Michigan State on a neutral. They won at Clemson. They beat Ole Miss. I mean, they've beaten on some of these teams that are high seeds in the field. So I think the price we're getting on Memphis, 30-1 to win the Elite 8, 80-1 to make the Final 4. They'd likely have to beat Maryland and Florida, which is why it's so juicy, but I think the price could be worth it. In the East region, it's pretty simple for me. I mean, I like Duke. I think Arizona and Wisconsin would be worth looking at just to make the Elite 8, potentially, especially the Badgers at the bottom. I've told you guys, I think if St. Mary's plays Bama, nightmare matchup for Bama. I think St. Mary's would upset them. That would really open things up for Wisconsin. So plus 310 to make the Elite 8, think that's a decent bet. Arizona, again, they'll likely have to upset Duke, but if Cooper Flagg is banged up, maybe he re-aggravates his ankle, something happens. Tommy Lloyd's always got a talented team, and they're always favorites, so maybe playing in the underdog role would be a great thing for Arizona. Maybe you look at them plus 350 to make the Elite 8, 10-1 to make the Final 4. And then finally, the Midwest region. Houston is the 1 seed. I got them at plus 150 to make the Final 4. They're still plus 130. I like getting the plus money with Houston. If they get past Gonzaga, I think that the draw really opens up well for them. Now, the Zags will be a tough test, no doubt. Zags got to take care of Georgia, though. That could be an interesting game. But if they do, likely going to get Clemson in the Sweet 16. I think Houston can take care of them. And then you got Rick Barnes as your 2 seed. Kentucky, you guys know, I think they're going to lose to Troy in the first round. I think the bottom of that region is no good. I would look at if Xavier beats Texas tomorrow, maybe take a shot with Xavier 35-1 to make the Elite 8. This might be just one of those years where we have both play-in games making a deep run in the tournament. I could see that happening. But Houston, again, their defense is awesome, but they can shoot this year. They're awesome from 3-point range. Now, I don't think they're going to win the title, but they can certainly make the Final 4, so I would keep an eye out. I would honestly just bet Houston at the plus money, but maybe you take a shot on Gonzaga if you think they're going to upset Houston. All right, let's talk about who is going to win the national championship here on Send It In. Found a bunch of different trends, and we're going to tell you who's going to win March Madness and cut down the nets in San Antonio. So we've talked about a bunch on the show, but as you guys know, going back since 2004, you look at the Week 6 AP poll, and every champion since 2004 who has been in the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll has won the tournament. Why week six is so important, it's the part of the calendar where the non-conference ends and the conference schedules are about to start, right? I don't think people realize just how important the non-conference is in college basketball, because a bunch of those games you're playing, especially against really good teams, are on neutral sites, which is obviously what we get in March Madness. So you got to be inside the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll. Those 12 teams are Tennessee, Auburn, Iowa State, Duke, Kentucky, Marquette, Bama, Gonzaga, Florida, Kansas, Purdue, and Oregon. Notice I did not say Houston. They were number 15. Notice I did not say Michigan State. They were number 21. I did not say St. John's. They were unranked. Texas Tech was unranked as well. And then UConn, who's obviously trying to go for a three-peat, they were number 19. So you can eliminate some top seeds, Houston, Michigan State, St. John's, and Texas Tech as well. Top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll. After that, we cut it down by looking at every champion since 2002, has been top 40 offensive efficiency, top 22 defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. And you can limit that 12-team list down to five teams. Duke, Tennessee, Iowa State, Florida, and Auburn. Those are the only five teams out of those 12, top 40 in offense, top 22 in defense, according to KenPom. So we can cross off Kentucky, Marquette, Bama, Gonzaga, Purdue, Oregon, and Kansas. You can knock those teams off to win the national title. We got five teams left. Duke, Tennessee, Iowa State, Florida, and Auburn. Since 2000, every champion but four of them have shot 36% or better from three-point range. This year, we only have three teams of those five remaining that shoot at 36% or better from deep. That would be Duke, Auburn, and Iowa State. Tennessee shoots at 34% from downtown. You can knock them out. And then the Florida Gators shoot 35.5% from deep. Now, you might say, that's right there, that's close, it's a half percentage point. But if the Gators lose by two or three, I mean, that could be the difference between them moving on or going home. So Tennessee and Florida, knock them out. We're down to three teams, Duke, Auburn, and Iowa State. Every champion since 1985 has made it to the semifinals of their conference tournament. Duke did, Auburn did, Iowa State did not. So Duke and Auburn are the two teams left that can win the national champion. Auburn has lost three of their last four games. No team has ever lost three of their last four games heading into the NCAA tournament and won the national title. So ladies and gentlemen, by all the trends and all the things that we have found, Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils will be cutting down the nets in San Antonio. All right, let's look at a promo from BetMGM. March is here and the madness is about to begin. Get in on the action with the March Matchup Odds Boost token. Just place your bet, use your token, and if you win, bigger payout, bigger celebration. Don't miss your shot. Grab your Odds Boost token today and make every game a slam dunk. Talking a lot of college basketball on the show, obviously, diving into March Madness. Let's get some golf bets, though, from our guy, Nick Henyon, who is joining us. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Henyon, senior writer for BetMGM. Nick, I'm going to lean on you big this week, my friend. Normally, I'm diving into golf. We got a lot of college basketball going on. Excited to hear what you think about the Valspar. So tell our audience, what are some things that we should know about this course? Who are some golfers that we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, hi, PJ. It's the event everyone's looking forward to this week, the Valspar Championship, right? Yeah, kind of a weird event. Course, five par threes, four par fives, nine par fours, so kind of a weird par 71 here. The best way to describe it is that it's a long golf course that requires you to have strong positioning off the tee and good long iron play. Additionally, it's not really a birdie fest. You see some pretty low winning scores here, so a lot of emphasis goes into par five efficiency for the week, because those obviously present the best birdie opportunities for these players. So I looked at strokes gained tee to green, I looked at proximity from with players as long irons, and I looked at a big amount of emphasis on par five efficiency for this week at Innisbrook.
Okay, very good. Nick, tell us who some of the golfers are that made your card this week. Give us the full rundown of guys. Who do you like?
Right back to the well we go on Shane Lowry at 22-1. I was on him last week at the Players. It did not go well for me, but The tee to green game remains outstanding. Fifth in strokes gained tee to green and strokes gained approach over his last 24 measured rounds. It's essentially a bet on the putter. He gained strokes putting at the Arnold Palmer. He lost strokes putting at TPC Sawgrass. So it's kind of an unknown with Lowry, but he was tied for 12th here in his last appearance at the Valspar Championship back in 2022. And he's eighth in par five efficiency between 550 and 600 yards over his last 24 rounds. So I like him amongst those short shot guys at a course where he's had some previous success and fits the profile here.
All right, very good. Shane Lowry, absolutely love it. One of his best friends, Rory McIlroy, just won the Players' Championship on Monday in a playoff against J.J. Spahn. And Nick, you know when it comes to Rory, he needs one more to complete that Grand Slam. Does it feel like, could this be the year that Rory wins at Augusta? Do you think there's a chance he could win the Masters this year with the way he's playing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the historical profile of the players who are winning the Masters, Rory definitely checks all the boxes. I mean, he's long off the tee. He has the previous success at Augusta, despite not accumulating that win. And he's already won twice on the PGA Tour this season. If those boxes are what you look at Augusta National, in addition to players, how they perform on the par fives at Augusta. That's one of the big driving stats when you look to pick a Masters champion for the season. So Rory, you've definitely seen him take money recently. He's down to, I think, plus 650 to win at Augusta this year and complete the career Grand Slam. So it's definitely doable. I'm still hoping. I have tickets on Ludvig Åberg at 16-1, Colin Morikawa at 22-1. I'm going to wait on Rory to, from a betting standpoint, I want to wait to see what the model says the week of the Masters. But if you just look at the eye test from this season year to date, there's definitely a strong case for Rory to get it done. And, you know, time will tell if he can complete the career Grand Slam at Augusta National come April.
Yep, we know that's the place that gives him the most trouble, Nick. But as people can see on their screen, Rory is certainly climbing up. Scotty's plus 450. He's going to try and go back-to-back. Rory plus 650. Got great numbers on Ludvig and Colin. Ludvig right now 12-1. Morikawa 14-1. Can't wait for the Masters. It'll be coming here not too far away, about 3 weeks or so. Nick Kenyon joining us. Give Nick a follow on X at Nick Kenyon, Cedar Writer for BetMGM. Nick, good luck this week, sir, at the Valspar. We'll talk again to you next Tuesday.
Thank you. On the way out, two more names. Michael Kim, 40-1. Taylor Moore, 45 at the Valspar.
Absolutely love it. Michael Kim, Taylor Moore. There you go from our guy, Nick Kenyon. We got a question from our guy, B-Mills, in the chat with a couple plays that he likes. PJ got some deep cuts for the actual first round of the tournament. Houston team total over 71.5 parlayed with SIUE team total under 52.5 and taking your Crimson Tide team total in the first half over at 46.5. I do like the Bama look, team total over. I just don't think Robert Morris is obviously going to be able to run with them. Let's just hope B-Mills that they're able to hit their threes. And I like the Houston look. I like the team total under parlayed with the SIU Edwardsville team total under as well. I mean, that's the way to play those games, right? Like, Houston's defense, you would figure, is really going to lock them up. And again, they're shooting the ball so good from three-point range, number four in the country from the three-point line. So I think both of those are a good look. Absolutely love it. Tomorrow, we're going to do the PJ Pick 5. We're going to look at my favorite bets coming up on Thursday. We're going to talk about some player props that I like, some of my favorite upsets as well. Another upset that I would keep an eye on, I told you guys I like Troy over Kentucky. I've talked about this Oregon team all year, and I love them. But I like Liberty in that first matchup. It's the last game of round one, Friday night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time start. I like Liberty at plus 260 against Oregon. Now, Dana Altman's never lost in the first round of March Madness before. He's a perfect 8-0. Oregon's normally a really good team in the month of March. But Liberty's very difficult to prepare for, and they really run their stuff well. And they shoot a lot of threes. And going up against that Oregon matchup zone, I just think is a bad matchup for the Ducks. I think also you look at all these 5-12 seeds, right? Everybody loves UC San Diego. Everybody loves Colorado State because they're favored. Everybody loves McNeese State. It feels like the 12 seed that nobody's really talking about is Liberty. And if I know one thing about the tournament, if there's an upset nobody's talking about that's like popular amongst the 5-12, 4-13s, that's usually the one that you should look at. So I like Liberty on the money line, plus 260 against Oregon. As for my favorite plays today, as we wrap up the show, I'll give you guys a prop lock that I like for the tournament, and that is the total wins by ACC tournament teams to be over 6.5. Again, I think Duke is going to win the whole thing. Duke's my pick to win the national champion. We just told you guys all the trends, all the metrics says Duke is going to win it as well. If they win the national championship, that means that they have 6 wins, and we just need one more from either Clemson, Louisville, or North Carolina, and we're getting that over at minus 115. So I like Duke. Oh, I like the ACC. ACC teams over 6.5 wins in the tournament. My dog of the day is going to be San Diego State, plus the 4.5 against UNC. I think the Heels win, but I think this is too many points. It's going to be a close game, one possession. I like the Aztecs. And then my best bet is going to be a player prop. Ven Allen Lubin, the big man for UNC, has scored double digits in 9 straight games, yet his player prop tonight is only 11.5. Isaac told you about the San Diego State big man should be available tonight. I think that's going to be a bad matchup for Lubin. So we'll go under 11.5 points for the UNC big man tonight against San Diego State. Absolutely love it, guys. Enjoy the first 4 tonight. We're going to have Jared Smith and Chase Kitty talking college hoops on the show tomorrow and all of our best bets for Thursday. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.